The special ten Sahabas, radiyallahu anhum. The special ten Sahabas, radiyallahu anhum. The special ten Sahabas, radiyallahu anhum. The special ten Sahabas, radiyallahu anhum.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers of Madani Channel, we welcome you back once again to our very special program The Special 10, in which we are going to be continuing into our brief look into the blessed lives of those 10 special individuals, those 10 blessed individuals who received the glad tidings of paradise in this very world from the beloved tongue of our beloved Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa alihi wa sallam. And before continuing, as usual, let's listen to a blessing of reciting salawat and salam upon the most beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The beloved and blessed Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has stated that whoever recites salat upon me 1,000 times daily, he shall not die until he sees his place in heaven. Subhanallah azza wa jal. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salatu wa salamun alayka ya Rasulallah. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, we had started discussing briefly the life of Sayyidina Zubair bin Awam radiyallahu ta'ala an. And Sayyidina Zubair bin Awam radiyallahu ta'ala an, in terms of his acceptance of Islam, the age that he accepted Islam at, there are various narrations that we find. One such narration is that he radiyallahu ta'ala an accepted Islam when he was only 15 years of age. Another narration is that when he was 18 years of age. And there are other narrations which state, for example, 12 years of age or 16 years of age. So there are various narrations as to the blessed age of Sayyidina Zubair bin Awam radiyallahu ta'ala an when he accepted Islam. Now Sayyidina Zubair bin Awam radiyallahu ta'ala an, as we heard in our last episode, that just like the other Muslims, when they would accept Islam, they were oppressed by the disbelievers at that time. Likewise, Sayyidina Zubair bin Awam radiyallahu ta'ala an, when he accepted Islam, when he came into the folds of Islam, then he was also subjected to this torment from the disbelievers, from his own family members. They became hostile towards him and he underwent a lot of this stress and a lot of this punishment and a lot of this torture that the Muslims were going through at that time. And we heard a glimpse of that in our last episode. So what eventually happened, as we know, as we look at the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, that eventually when this oppression became unbearable, or it was in reality unbearable from the start, but eventually when it became too much, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, he commanded the companions radwanullahi ta'ala alaihim ajma'in to migrate to Habsha, to Ethiopia. So there were two famous migrations that we hear of in Islam. One was to Habsha and one was to the blessed city of Madinatul Munawwara. So the first migration which took place towards Habsha, Sayyidina Zubair bin Awam radiyallahu ta'ala an also partook in this migration. He was also a part of those individuals. He was also from amongst those individuals who migrated towards Habsha at that time. So Ummul Mu'mineen Sayyidatuna Umm Salama radiyallahu ta'ala anha, she has stated that when they arrived, and keep in mind that Sayyidina Zubair bin Awam radiyallahu ta'ala anha, when the Muslims set off to Habsha, Sayyidina Zubair bin Awam radiyallahu ta'ala anha, he was the youngest person in this caravan. He was the youngest person from amongst those people who were migrating to Habsha at that time. And even at this point, as we heard, that his blessed mother, radiyallahu ta'ala anha, she brought him up to be a person who has courage and who has bravery, who is a courageous person, who is a brave person. So he displayed a great amount of bravery even at this point as well, despite being the youngest in the caravan. So Sayyidatuna Umm Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha, she has stated that when they arrived there in Habsha in Ethiopia, all the Muslims received good treatment and lived in peace. And we hear the famous story about how the Muslims settled there and the disbelievers of Mecca tried to, in one sense, bribe the king of Ethiopia by gifts and by presenting various financial and materialistic gifts to him. But he declined because he was a fair and a just king. So he listened to both sides of the story, and then when he heard the story of the Muslims and when he heard the recitation of the glorious Quran, he granted them permission to live in his country freely and worship freely. And he knew that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the true prophet of Islam, the true prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a true Rasul and a Nabi sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore he accepted and he brought faith and he accepted Islam as well. He accepted the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as the final Rasul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this story we hear, it is very famous. Now the Muslims, they lived in peace there. She says that suddenly they found out that an opponent of the emperor, Sayyidina Najashi radiallahu ta'ala an, has revolted against him. Sayyidina Najashi was the king of that time, whom I've just mentioned that he also believed in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So one of his opponents has revolted against him. Now this severely grieved the Muslims, and they were oppressed that the rebels, if they seize power and overcome Sayyidina Najashi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, then they would not grant asylum to the Muslims as they are currently granted right now. So when Sayyidina Najashi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he departed to battle against the rebels and reached the other edge of the river Nile, where the battle was about to take place, the blessed Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, they consulted each other and they had this meeting amongst themselves that someone should go to the scene of the battle and bring them news about the situation of the battle, what's happening, who's dominating, which side is the stronger side, and so on and so forth. So Sayyidina Zubair bin Awwam radiallahu ta'ala an, as I've already mentioned, he was the youngest person from amongst all those who had migrated. And despite being the youngest, he radiallahu ta'ala an presented himself humbly and said that I am to be entrusted with this privilege. I am going to go and execute this task, and I'm going to go and carry out this task and go to the other side of the river and bring you back the news of the situation as to which side is dominating. So all the people, as you can see, you can imagine naturally, all the people were surprised to see this very young man. And they were very surprised to see his very young age, but they still, at the same time, they appreciated his passion and his spirit, and they finally agreed to send him upon his insistence. He was insisting that he was the one that wanted to go and carry out this task. So in order to send him to the other side of the river, a water bag was inflated, and he radiallahu ta'ala an swam with the help of it towards the other side. And he radiallahu ta'ala an, he came back to his fellow Muslims with the good news that Allah azza wa jal blessed victory to the emperor Sayyidina Najashi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. Upon hearing this, all the Muslims became delighted like never before. So, my dear Islam brothers, this young personality who migrated also has another speciality, that when the Muslims were asked to migrate from Makkah to Al-Mukarramah to Madinatul Munawwara, Sayyidina Zubair bin Awam radiallahu ta'ala an, it is stated regarding him that there was no other Sahabi other than Sayyidina Zubair bin Awam radiallahu ta'ala an, who migrated at once with his entire family. The other blessed Sahaba Ikram alayhim ridwan, their family members, they reached individually and gradually afterwards, but they didn't go all in one go. for Sayyidina Zubair bin Awam radiyallahu ta'ala an, he migrated with his family all at once to Madinatul Munawwara. And it is reported that no Sahabi radiyallahu ta'ala an migrated with his mother except Sayyidina Zubair bin Awam radiyallahu ta'ala an. So this is the speciality of Sayyidina Zubair bin Awam radiyallahu ta'ala an. And then we hear, when we look at the history and the seerah, we hear another beautiful incident that Sayyidina Zubair bin Awam radiyallahu ta'ala an, when he went to Habsha, when he went to Ethiopia, he was the youngest from amongst the companions who had gone there. And when he radiyallahu ta'ala an migrated to Madinatul Munawwara, another beautiful incident that we come across is that when the Muslims had migrated to Madinatul Munawwara, there were some people who spread this rumor that, ma'adallah, that we have performed some sort of a spell on the Muslim women, that now none of them will be able to give a birth to a child. So this was a rumor that was spread by some of the disbelievers at that time, in order to, which really upset the Muslims. But when we look into the history, the very first individual, the very first child that was to be born after the migration towards Madinatul Munawwara, it was none other than the child of Sayyidina Zubair bin Awam radiyallahu ta'ala an, Sayyidina Abdullah. Subhanallah Azza wa Jalla. So he was the first child to be born after the migration from Makkatul Mukarramah to Madinatul Munawwara. So Sayyidina Abdullah bin Zubair radiyallahu ta'ala an, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted Sayyidina Zubair radiyallahu ta'ala an this child, the Muslims were very happy to see this because of the rumor that had already been spread that had upset them. Now the Muslims were happy to see this, and they started to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that likewise this spell that they had claimed that they had cast upon the Muslims, this spell had been broken. Now this beautiful incident that we notice in the history of the Muslims, it is narrated that Sayyidina Zubair bin Awam radiyallahu ta'ala an is his blessed son who was born after the migration to Madinatul Munawwara. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he was also present in Madinatul Munawwara, so Sayyidina Zubair bin Awam radiyallahu ta'ala an, his son Sayyidina Abdullah, was brought into the court of the blessed Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he kept a date in his blessed mouth, and he softened it, and then he placed it into the blessed mouth of Sayyidina Abdullah bin Zubair radiyallahu ta'ala an. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. So he was the first Muslim child, the son of Sayyidina Zubair bin Awam radiyallahu ta'ala an. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Zubair radiyallahu ta'ala an was the first Muslim child who was to be given the blessed saliva of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his mouth. So this is a speciality that we see, that the son of Sayyidina Zubair bin Awam radiyallahu ta'ala received. And this is the greatness of the son. Then what can be said about the status of the father, the blessed companion who received the glad tidings of heaven, of paradise, of Jannah in this very world? And we also learn that, you know, to give some sort of a leftover from a pious person at the birth of the child, and you know, usually something sweet like honey, etc. To do this, this is a practice of the companions radwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in. This has been the practice of our pious predecessors, and it definitely is a means of blessing for the child as well. Now, if we look into the way of thinking that Sayyidina Zubair bin Awam radiyallahu ta'ala an possessed, he radiyallahu ta'ala an, he says that Sayyidina Talha radiyallahu ta'ala an, he named all of his children after the prophets alayhim salatu wasalam, after the anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam. As we heard when we discussed the blessed life of Sayyidina Talha bin Ubaidullah radiyallahu ta'ala an, that he, out of his love, and you know, a way of showing love to the pious people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the anbiya, in order to gain blessings from their names as well, he named all of his children after the names of the prophets alayhim salatu wasalam, after the names of the anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam. So Sayyidina Talha bin Ubaidullah radiyallahu an had done this. Now Sayyidina Zubair bin Awam radiallahu ta'ala an, what does he say? So he says that Sayyidina Talha radiallahu ta'ala an, he named all of his children after the Prophets alayhi salatu wasalam. He gave them the same names as the Prophets alayhi salatu wasalam, even though he knew that there can be no Prophet after our beloved Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wasallam. So he says, I have named all of my sons after the shuhada, after the martyrs, after those people who were martyred for the sake of Islam, hoping that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also grants them this honor of being martyred in His path. Allahu Akbar. So he says that I have, so he gives his detail as to how he named his children. So he says that I have named my son Abdullah after Sayyidina Abdullah bin Jahash radiallahu ta'ala an. Likewise, I have named my son Munzir after Sayyidina Munzir bin Amr radiallahu ta'ala an. And I have named my son Urwa after Sayyidina Urwa bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala an. And I have named my son Hamza after Sayyidu Shuhada, Sayyidina Amir Hamza radiallahu ta'ala an. So Hamza, he had named his son after Sayyidu Shuhada, Sayyidina Amir Hamza radiallahu ta'ala an. Indeed, a great status, a companion with a great status, and the uncle of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wasallam, who is known as the Sayyidu Shuhada, the leader of all the martyrs. And then he says that I have named my son Ja'far after Sayyidina Ja'far bin Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala an. And I have named my son Mus'ab after Sayyidina Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu ta'ala an. And I have named my son Ubaidah after Sayyidina Ubaidah bin Harith radiallahu ta'ala an. And I have named my son Khalid after Sayyidina Khalid bin Sa'id radiallahu ta'ala an. And I have named my son Amr after Sayyidina Amr bin Sa'id radiallahu ta'ala an. Subhanallah Azza wa Jalla. So we see that Sayyidina Zubayr bin Awam radiallahu ta'ala an, he had named his children after the shuhada, after the martyrs, so that they also be granted this status by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. And at the same time, I would like to just point out a beautiful point with regards to the blessed life of Sayyidina Zubayr bin Awam radiallahu ta'ala an, that he was very young, as we've heard. He was only around about the age of 16, 17 or 18, around about that age, when he accepted Islam. Even one mention, one narration that we find that he was 12 years of age as well. But even if we were to take 18 years of age, you know, he is still in his teens, as we say. He's still a teenager. And he's still very young. And this shows us that even, you know, he's just one example. There are many companions, there are many Sahaba Ikram alayhim radwan, many companions who accepted Islam at a young age. Either at a very young age, like we heard about Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala, he accepted Islam around about the age of 10. Or at the peak of their youth. But either way, the youth are always involved in Islam. The youth have a major role to play in Islam from the very beginning. They've always had a major role to play. So it is for us youth to ponder over this. Generally what happens is, as we're growing up, as we are going through our young age, our youth, we're thinking, well, you know, I can do this so and so act when I grow older. And we're actually delaying a lot of our good deeds, a lot of our service that we could offer to our religion Islam, we're leaving it at an age later on. And even though we have no guarantee of reaching that age, of getting to that age, but we leave these good deeds that we are to be carrying out now for a hope for a time later on in our life. But Allahu Akbar, let's hear now some of the blessings of carrying out worship in our youth, and make an intention through the sake of Sayyidina Zubayr bin Awam radiallahu ta'ala an, through the passion that he had for good deeds, for the service of Islam, make an intention to learn more about Islam from our Sunni scholars, from the Madani Mahal of Da'wat Islami, from the Madani environment of Da'wat Islami, and make it an intention to learn more about the religion, and then try our best to serve the religion and also increase the worship that we carry out in our youth, in our young age. And it is stated, and generally we see as well, you know, when a person gets old, he's struggling, he's mentally disturbed, and sometimes they act like children. Maybe they say some rough words, some unwise words, and so on and so forth. They physically become weak as well. Hakim ul-Ummat Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi rahimahullah ta'ala, he has narrated that Sayyidina Ikrima radiyallahu ta'ala anha has stated, the young man who is habitual of reciting the Holy Quran will not be affected by this condition, meaning he will not forget the knowledge in his old age that he had gained in his young age. Allahu Akbar. So a young man who is habitual of reciting the glorious Quran will not be affected by these conditions. And Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has also commanded us that we hear this narration. A great Tabi'i saint, Sayyidina Amr bin Maymun radiyallahu ta'ala, and he has narrated that the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has said, was advising a person, value five things before five other things. So what are those things? Value your youth before the old age, your health before illness, and your wealth before destitution, before becoming poor and less wealthy. And value your leisure, your free time before being busy, and value your life before death. So we have been taught to value youth by our beloved Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And stressing upon the importance of worship in youth, the great Hanbali scholar Sayyidina Ibn Rajab Hanbali rahimahullahu ta'ala, he has stated that the one who remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his youth, in his young age, in his youth, he will be helped by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his old age and weakness, besides being blessed with good hearing, a good vision, strength and intellect. Allahu Akbar. Despite reaching the age of 100 years, Sayyidina Abu Tayyib Tabari alayhi rahmatullahi al-qawi, he was mentally and physically fit and healthy. So someone asked him secret of his wealth. So he rahmatullahi ta'ala replied, I protected my physical abilities from sin in my youth. So Allah Azza wa Jal has retained them for me in my old age. And on the other hand, on the contrary, Sayyidina Junaid rahmatullahi ta'ala, he saw an old man begging. And he rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi said, this person, he wasted the rights of Allah Azza wa Jal in his youth. So Allah Azza wa Jal has wasted his strength in his old age. Allahu Akbar. So we see that, you know, worship in youth is very important. But let's hear this beautiful narration and see just how vast the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, and how much of a significance the worship that is performed in youth actually carries. So we see Sayyidina Anas bin Malik radiyallahu ta'ala an, he has narrated that when a bondman reaches the last part of his age, meaning he having performed good deeds in the state of Islam, now he has reached the last part of his age, he has grown old, then Allah Azza wa Jal continues to record good deeds in his book of deeds which he used to do in his state of health. Allahu Akbar. So the scholars elaborating upon this hadith and upon this narration and generally giving us Madani pearls, they say that when a person is fit and healthy, if he has a habit of carrying out good deeds, if he is habitual of carrying out good deeds, then when he becomes weak and when his body is unable to now support him in carrying out those same good amount of good deeds, in that same amount that he used to be able to carry out previously, when he reaches that age, then now he will still be granted that reward by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he can still expect for that reward to be given to him because of the deed that he was habitual of carrying out during his youth. So this is something for us to take on board, that we make it a habit to carry out at least a few good deeds. You know, let's decide a few good deeds today and make it a habit and a routine of ours to carry those out every single day of our life, no matter what. So that inshallah azza wa jal, we gain the blessings and the reward for those good deeds in this day and age and in this time of our life now as well. But at the same time, we also expect that reward from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, that we can expect that reward when we grow old or when we grow weak in any sense, in any way that our body is unable to now support us, our body is unable to carry out that same amount of worship that we carry out now. So let's make an intention to at least pick a few good deeds. Be it, for example, just to get some ideas started. Be it the recitation of the Quran, maybe a few ayahs, a few ruku, however much we can manage. But we have to be consistent and do it on a daily basis. Be it a small amount, but it has to be consistent. So we're constantly in connection and in touch with the glorious Quran. Likewise, you know, after Maghrib, performing the Awabin prayer, which is the 6th rakat after the Fard prayer, which is the Fard of Maghrib, and then we can perform 2 sunnahs, and then 4 more further rakats, or 2 in units of 2 if we wish. So there will be the extra nawafil and 6 rakat in total. And there are great blessings and virtues for this Salatul Awabin as well. If you wish, you know, refer to the book compiled by Sayyidi Amir al-Sunnat, Madani Panchsura, the Madani Treasure of Blessings, in which he has mentioned the blessings of various nafli voluntary worships and voluntary acts that we carry out. Along with that, let's make an intention, maybe, you know, if we can Awabin or Ishraq and Chasht or Tahajjud, maybe some of us are hearing these names for the very first time. So you definitely need to refer to that book, The Madani Treasure of Blessings, and read into it and look at the blessings of some of the acts, voluntary acts that have been mentioned in the Ahadith and that our pious predecessors have been performing throughout their lives. So Alhamdulillah, we can make this intention. We can also make an intention to invite a certain amount of brothers to the masjid, to the Madni environment of Dawat Islami, and so on and so forth. So there are many things that we can do. You know, even simple things, for example, reciting Bismillah before every permissible act, stepping into the masjid with the right foot, out with the left foot, going into our house with the right foot, and reciting the dua upon entrance, and also greeting our family when we get in and giving them salam, and so on and so forth. The list is just endless. You know, if we are to even look at deeds that we can carry out, the list is just endless. Seriously, we just need that mindset. We just need to be people who seek out these chances and just go out and perform these good deeds. So Alhamdulillah Azawajal, through the blessings of Sayyidina Zubair bin Awam radiallahu ta'ala an, we've heard about his migration, his acceptance of Islam, his blessed child, the names of his children. So we've learned a lot about his blessed life as well, and a little glimpse into his family. And at the same time, through his blessings, we've heard about the blessings of carrying out worship in youth, in young age. So my dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani Channel, make an intention. Youth does not just mean male, but at the same time females as well, at the same time Islamic sisters as well, the same applies to them. Let's each and every one of us make an intention to carry out a great amount of worship in our youth. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly grant us the ability to do so. Ameen. Bijahin Nabil Ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم.
The special tense of Abbas رضي الله عنهم. The special tense of Abbas رضي الله عنهم. The special tense of Abbas رضي الله عنهم. The special tense of Abbas, radiyallahu anhu.